And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. I hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday morning. I'm Mo DeKeel. With me today is Mark Schindler, and producing this on the ones and twos is the one and only Andrew Schleck. We're going to run through the NBA action from Monday night. And Mark, we got a lot to cover, man. We're gonna try to do this pretty quick here. I want to start with the Boston Celtics blowing another 15-point lead to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes, no Jason Tatum, no Al Horford, no Grant Williams. They still built a lead and blew this. Mark, what the hell?
Yeah, shout out to no Grant Williams. This was a game, man. It was funny. I was ready to turn this off and shift over to something else with about 5 minutes left. Celtics were up 12. Looked like they were going to seal this one. And then Donovan Mitchell, man. Like, A, the Cavs defense really honed in. I thought Evan Mobley was huge down the stretch. Finished with 25 and 17 tonight.
USC zone.
Yeah,
Mark, USC's Mark, very... USC zone.
Can't
and the
forget.
Real USC. Don't come at me with this South Carolina stuff.
Hey,
USC.
But Donovan, I mean, I still wonder if Malcolm Brogdon is, you know, maybe back in Virginia after getting crossed into oblivion down the stretch there with Donovan Mitchell. That was one of the best dunks all season. And as you mentioned with Grant Williams, Donovan Mitchell with 0.8 seconds left. Grant Williams gets fouled.
We got to set this up here.
I'll let
just
you.
Just a situation. Yeah. The Cavs basically come back. The Celtics have a poor possession in regulation. Derek White misses a three. Marcus Smart misses a three. They run back the Cavs run down the other court, get a Donovan Mitchell layup, and then Grant Williams, to his credit, like, It was Derek White driving down the lane. He misses the shot. Grant Williams, to his credit, goes to crash the offensive glass, gets fouled by Lamar Stevens as he goes up. It's a clear foul, no question about it. And it's a long time before he gets to shoot the free throws, Mark. They review it. The definitely a foul. He goes to the line. And him and Donovan Mitchell are talking. And he says to Donovan Mitchell, "I'm going to make both of them." And to be honest, he said it twice. "I'm going to make both of them. I'm going to make both of them." He only needed one to win, right? Or was it a tied ball game? I've already forgotten.
It was tied. Yeah, it was tied because that would have won it for them.
Right. So all he needed was one free throw. And he's saying, "I'm going to make both of them." And of course, you tempt the gods, they're going to make a fool out of you. He misses the first one. And then the Cavs do the great job of just everybody subs in their big guys. Everybody gets nervous all of a sudden. Now it's all the big guys there. You have the one dude going back and forth in the lane to continuing to freeze him. And the one thing I noticed, Mark, and I realized, oh, wow, he's going to miss the second free throw. He never stepped off the line. Guys always kind of just step off the line, gather themselves, and then walk towards the line and get back on. He just stood there the whole time. Is that a dumb thing that I think mattered? Yeah, probably dumb and really doesn't matter, but to me it did. And then he missed it. He missed it. And Marcus Smart comes flying in and almost tips it in, which also would have been a whole other thing. He missed it, goes to overtime, and then just Donovan Mitchell's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Lamar Stevens in overtime. He had 8 points in the game, 5 of them coming in OT, leading scorer in overtime. Yeah, exactly like you mentioned. I think it sounds small, but I thought that was huge. Grant looked in his head the entire time at the free throw line, even when he was talking back to Donovan. And, you know, I don't want to make too much of it, but that was rough, especially with the season Grant's been having. It has been tough sledding for him. This does, you know, adds another difficult notch in that. And I think, again, like you mentioned earlier off top, you know, you don't want to take too much from this back to back. The Celtics team has been really good, but they're what, 10-9 coming into tonight over their last 20. It's
another blown lead. So I got to ask you, because they blew a big one against Brooklyn over the weekend. I mean, this is becoming more and more of a thing for them. Like, are you actually concerned about the Celtics going into the playoffs here?
I don't want to say concerned. Like, I think it's been frustrating, disappointing. It's maybe lowered my opinion on them a little bit. I do have to say, I mean, like, Jaylen Brown was awesome tonight, especially late in the game, shot making to keep them in as the Cavs were climbing back in. But it just is tough. It feels like every time that I want to say that this team is like, oh, you know, not that they're flawless, but it felt like early on in the year they just didn't have flaws. It felt like everything was really clicking. And then they I don't know, I feel like we, as the year's gone on, we just see a little bit more in terms of what their potential flaws and warts might be in the playoffs.
I just think the shooting has fallen off the cliff for them a little bit, as it should, because they were shooting ridiculously to start the season. And case in point, in the fourth quarter and overtime combined, they only scored 23 points. When you combine that for the Cavs, 40. You're going to probably lose that game. Cavs, big win for them. I think they needed it. It felt like, you know, the Knicks are gaining steam. They're, you know, you can feel them coming at them in the standings. And you want to at least have home court advantage if you're going to end up playing the Knicks. But, Mark, like I said to start this game, we got a lot to cover today. We got to move on. We're moving. We're going to Denver, folks. We're going to Denver versus Toronto. This was a weird game. Toronto was played really well. It looked like for a while they were going to hold on. Every time Denver made a run, Toronto would kind of answer each run all the way through until down the stretch. And this game's going to be overshadowed by what we're going to talk about next. But we got to say this. It was a 6-point game, 2 minutes left. Jamal Murray drills a big three. Then on the next possession down, comes down and gets a layup. A 5-0 run just from Murray alone to make it a 1-point game. Now everybody's getting a little more nervous. Jokic gets fouled, goes to the line. He gives the Nuggets a 1-point lead. It's beginning to go back and forth. And then it becomes challenge gate. First, Jokic draws a foul on Scottie Barnes. Nick Nurse goes completely ballistic, challenges it. I thought it was a foul. He wrapped him up and then Jokic raised his arm to draw attention to it. Smart by Jokic. Raptors lose that challenge. They make those free throws. Next possession down for the Raptors. Foul called. Michael Malone. Don't say Mike. He gets mad. Michael Malone calls for a challenge. Call gets overturned. So now it's a jump ball. Nuggets win the possession. On the next play down, Jakob Poeltl, in my opinion, fouls Aaron Gordon. I thought it was a pretty obvious foul. He bumps him, this and that. He's going to go to the line. And it sounds like Scottie Barnes says, you know, something along the lines of, God damn, bro, or something like that. Scott Foster wasn't having any of this, Mark. It was a 1-point game at this point. Aaron Gordon is going to shoot 2 free throws. And Scott Foster says, nope, technical foul, and throws Scottie Barnes out. And, I mean, that kind of just put the game away for the Nuggets.
Yeah. I think just to go back off top, this was Nuggets versus Raptors versus Scott Foster, man. That call was wild to me. I'm very excited to see what the last 2-minute report has to say on that one, or if we get any kind of answers to what that was supposed to be. But I mean, exactly like you mentioned, that was a weird call. The Raptors have been playing they've been playing so well. Pascal Siakam, it felt like they just didn't have an answer for him. Like, 8 of 18 for 19 points just does not encapture what he was doing down the stretch. And to the Nuggets in general, in my opinion, like, they were trying to mix up their coverages, find ways to get him uncomfortable, and it just never really felt like they were able to until things kind of fell apart for them in the last couple minutes there. Jakob as well was huge in what this game was. He went, as he seems to always do, he went right at Jokic at the start of the game. And even like Scottie's defense has been better over the last month. And I think we saw that tonight as well until, of course, you know, foul late. It was a weird game, man. It was such a good game, such an enjoyable game. And then those fouls at the end just like kind of dragged it a little bit.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is going to get overshadowed by the Scott Foster thing and the technical. I thought it was a bit much for the technical and the toss the guy. And in that instance, because it's still a one possession game, assume Gordon makes those free throws. It's a 3-point game with the Raptors going the other way. That they have a chance to make this something more interesting and exciting. We got to talk about, I mean, Jokic misses a triple double by an assist, 17, 13, and 9. He's phenomenal, but I do got to say, only 8 shots for Jokic. Like, I'm almost at the point of like, he needs to be more aggressive. And this is going to be, I'm obviously not the first to say this. This is going to be a growing chorus of people saying, yo, you got to get more shots than that. What's your take on that? Like, I know Murray's killing it. He's rolling, and Jokic likes to be the passer and initiate and everything. But at a certain point, man, you need Jokic to just go.
Yeah, I agree. I think, especially too, because like when we saw him at his best last year, it's with him being as aggressive as he was. I don't think it's necessarily to the extent that some people are making it out to be. Like, obviously, he's a guy who wants to go out and make the right plays. But I think I'm right there with you. Like, sometimes when we talk about guys who are the greatest passers, like, there's a level of, like, you know, you have to hit that upper percentile and be your best. Like, you have to hit that range of being that guy who's looking to score first because of what it opens up with your passing vision. So I agree. I think I would really like to see that him hit that thing. I feel like that's always just going to be a talking point with him. And it's not to undersell what he does, but I'm right there with you. But to hit on what you mentioned as well, I thought the biggest takeaway for me, other than Scott Foster, was Jamal Murray. I mean, that flurry he had in the fourth, like it's what he always does. Those flurries that he puts together is when you see this Nuggets team look like a contender with what he puts together. And it's just, I won't take it for granted again after we missed it for as long as we did last year. So getting to watch him be back kind of at the height of his powers again has been really enjoyable.
Yeah, and he had a couple of flurries in this game, but...
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Speaking of a place that's used to flurries, I have no idea if they are or not, but that's my segue. I want to go real quickly to the insane Indiana Pacers-Philadelphia 76ers game. This game was absolutely absurd. And what I mean by that is, I believe there were 32 lead changes. This game was close from start to finish. The Sixers created a little bit of space. And man, we had two amazing performances in this game. Tyrese Haliburton goes for 40 points, 15 assists. Very impressive. But he gets outdone by Joel Embiid, who goes for 42 points and has 19 free throws. We should also mention James Harden had 20 assists in this game. This game was crazy. I don't even know where to begin. Go, Mark. I have no idea where to go.
Yeah, it was kind of wild, man. Exactly like you're mentioning, so much of this game was played in transition and early offense. Like, Jalen McDaniels had 20 points tonight, and it felt like all of them were on cuts. Like, everything was just Jalen McDaniels face cutting, back cutting, going across the lane. Shout out to him. He played really well tonight with PJ Tucker out. I think that was a sneaky storyline and seeing what this means moving forward. And what his minutes can be for them. Like Tyrese Maxey, I think it felt like almost all of his points were coming in transition with early threes too. Like Tyrese Haliburton was just abusing shooting pockets. Like anything that the Sixers left open, like their defense was abysmal tonight. Both teams were. Miles Turner, who has been
defense awesome. Was optional in this game.
Oh yeah,
defense the lowest scoring quarter was 29 points from the Pacers.
Yeah.
Like everything else was just everybody was just flying on offense.
Yeah, it was certainly something. Like I looked at, you know, with Miles. Miles has had like the best month of his career just about over the last, you know, 30 days. And tonight he kind of had He just has no answer for Joel Embiid ever. He never has. He's really struggled with it. That's not to denigrate who he is as a player, but that was, you know, Joel just ate him alive tonight. And that's, you know, it happens when you're playing against an MVP level talent. Like you mentioned,
I'll say this though: zero rebounds for Miles Turner.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's definitely difficult. Nobody with double digit rebounds on the Pacers. They got bodied on the glass.
And there wasn't a lot because nobody missed. But like, at least find one if you're Turner.
You would hope so. But yeah, man, it was. I think that's a game I would love to watch back just to be like that. I don't think I've ever seen a game played like that before.
And real quick, we're going to wrap it up here. Atlanta loses again to the Miami Heat. And this was a game where it looked like Atlanta had a control. They had a 15-point lead, but Miami continues to get rolling. And Victor Oladipo with a monster fourth quarter with 10 points off the bench. I mean, like, this Miami team, they can't score. Like, this is generally not a team that can score. They cracked 120. They got 130 tonight. This is the second time in 20 games they've gotten 120 points or more. That's kind of how bad Atlanta's defense was.
Yeah, this was a fun game, but also kind of a weird game because I think, like you mentioned, this Heat team has really struggled to find their offense. But Jimmy Butler had what I would consider just about his best night of the year, 26-9-9, and it felt like he got anything, anywhere, anytime he wanted. Part of that is the Hawks' defense, but a lot of that too was just Jimmy was on one tonight. I thought it was a special performance from him and what he was able to get going. And a lot of it too was like, it's not just like, not to say that his assists are easy, but like, I thought what he was carving up and finding was the offense was really flowing. There was a lot of good cutting going on and he was doing a great job of drawing to, or at least drawing eyes and opening things up with his driving. And the bench for Miami is something I'm really interested to continue seeing moving forward, especially with, you know, adding Cody Zeller, Caleb Martin, going to the bench after coming back from injury. And with Kevin Love coming in, he's been back there. And Duncan Robinson played pretty well today. Somebody who we really haven't seen or heard a lot from this year, who is honestly, when he has played, he's been pretty rough. So I think when you're seeing this bench come together and actually be a positive, when they've largely dragged down this team this year, some really good positive signs for Miami.
Yeah, the one thing for Miami that was big for this game, 16 made threes, and they were able to hold Atlanta to just 9. Both Murray and Trae Young combined for 2 for 11 from 3. But listen, when we start highlighting Cody Zeller, that's when I know it's time to go. That's it for us today on the Daily Ding. Make sure you check out all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Subscribe to The Bounce, written by Zach Harper and Shams Charanian, dropping some notes in there. And go check out all the other amazing things we have on theathletic.com. Mark, take us away.
Ding, ding, y'all.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.